that, we're not necessarily going to be repeating some of the things that we've already talked about. And not only for the value of repetition, it's good for us to be reminded, but we also, as we talk about different aspects of fellowship, we're reminded that all of these things are still connected. It's one part of a whole. And so we're going to be repeating some of these things as we go on, but may the Lord give us the help that we need to see that fellowship is not merely a pleasant thing, but it is an essential part of our Christian life. It's not just pleasant. It's a necessity, and it's something that we need and that is good for us. Before I go on, I did want to mention a quick prayer request. Karen Peach said that Kevin has gone to the emergency room tonight with some signs of blood poisoning. He had a bug bite that seems to have gotten infected, and so it's kind of moving up his arm, and so we pray that the doctors will be able to get that resolved quickly. It's concerning to see those symptoms, and so please pray for him. But talking about fellowship, again, it's not just a pleasant thing that we seek out for fun. It's much more than that, and it's okay to have fun. It's okay for there to be a pleasant side to fellowship, of course, but it's something that we should seek out because we need it. If we're going to fulfill God's will for our lives, and if we're going to bear much fruit for Him, our lives must include purposeful fellowship. But just like many other things in the Christian life, fellowship is not something that we do only because we have to. There are many blessings in store for us that make fellowship very pleasant. And tonight, we're going to look at the blessings of fellowship. The blessings of fellowship, and there are many of them. But before we look at them and consider them, let's pray. Father, we thank you for fellowship. And there are so many blessings that are a part of it. We're going to talk about those, but one of those blessings is bearing each other's burdens in prayer. And we had a prayer time earlier talking about folks who need to be saved and folks with health issues. I pray for Kevin Peach tonight that you would help the doctors to be able to help him to resolve this infection before it gets worse, before it causes more serious problems. I just pray that you give him relief from pain and discomfort. And I pray that he would be able to be back to full strength soon. Just help him. I pray that you get this infection under control. And I pray that you'd speak to us tonight through the Word of God. Encourage our hearts. Help us to seek out fellowship for the biblical reasons, but also to enjoy all the blessings that come along with it. I pray that you'd strengthen us with those blessings and those helps. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Fellowship between Christians has been likened to a forest. You think about a single tree all by itself in an open field standing alone. If a hurricane comes along, that tree is going to blow over pretty easily. But if it's surrounded by a thickly wooded forest, all of those trees stand a much better chance of surviving and enduring the blast of the wind, because there is this joining in the storm and this help in the storm, and fellowship can have some of those same benefits. And so what are the blessings of fellowship? What are some pleasant and helpful things that God has designed to be part of fellowship? He intends it for us. So I want us to look at a few. We looked at Leviticus chapter 6, verse 2, and you're welcome to turn there if you'd like. But the first thing that we see as a blessing of fellowship is assistance. Assistance. We find assistance in fellowship. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 2, it says, if a soul sinned and committed trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, and he goes on. But the point is, keeping something in fellowship. We looked at this verse a couple of weeks ago. This is the first appearance of the word fellowship in the Bible. And in this context, fellowship means a pledge or security. There are safe deposit boxes at the bank. Same kind of idea. You are giving a valuable item to someone for safekeeping. And in this verse here, that's the idea of something given, delivered him in fellowship. You only do that with someone that you trust. And we may not trust all the employees at the bank, but we trust the regulations and the contracts that go into having a safe deposit box. If you know someone who is trustworthy. You're going to entrust them maybe to watch your children, maybe to have keep your children overnight in when you are in need. And that is a very, very definite form of delivering something to someone for safekeeping. And when this happens, there's this sort of partnership, a sort of fellowship that is entered into between the two parties. There's a commonality here. There's a league, a common goal, a solemn pact, as it were, on various levels, depending on the item that's being given for safekeeping. We understand this when we say, can you keep a secret? Can I entrust this secret to you for safekeeping? And this is one party, one side, one person assisting another. And that's a very important aspect of fellowship within a church. We entrust something valuable to each other, and we keep those things for each other. And what are some examples of this? Well, sharing each other's burdens. You know, let me share a private issue with you that's really on my heart. I don't feel like I can really tell very many people, but I feel like I can trust you. Can I share this with you? That's one way for us to assist each other and help each other and entrust each other with these things. I think about shared responsibilities like cleaning crews and Sunday school classes. These can be shared work times, and I'm needing your assistance. This is a part of fellowship, is assistance. I'm providing some help for you or you for me, and we're working together. We can fellowship together. We can assist each other spiritually. We can share the lessons that God has taught us and shown us. These are ways to assist each other. I mentioned praying together, and it is a blessing to bear one another's burdens in prayer. We have this prayer meeting every Saturday night, and it's a blessing to pray with each other. And spouses can pray with each other. I'm always blessed to pray with my wife and to hear her share her burdens with the Lord, and I can help her with those, and friends can do that with each other. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we can bear each other's burdens in prayer. And we're entering into this solemn, as I say, a solemn pact of sorts. I'm not going to share this with anyone and everyone. This is not a cheap thing. This is very valuable, very solemn, and I'm going to help bear your burden. I'm going to pray for you in this. I'm going to pray with you in this. I'm assisting you, and we can be very, very encouraged by helping each other. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And there's some extra incentive. The law of Christ demands that we do this. Look over at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Assistance is a very important part of fellowship, and it's something that we should seek to find and seek to fulfill in fellowship. It's great, as I said, to get together and just kind of shoot the breeze and tell jokes and laugh and do fun things, but we ought to be seeking to fellowship with each other, and assistance, helping each other, is one of those ways. Acts chapter 12, verse 1, we see bearing each other's burdens in prayer mentioned here in this passage. It says, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." They were praying and praying and praying. "And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept prison. And we know the angel smote him on the side and said, 'Arise up quickly,' and he followed the angel out." Verse 10, "When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Peter thought this was a vision, and suddenly he finds himself alone in the city street, free of the jail. Now, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, 'Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people, the Jews.' And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda." And we understand he continued knocking. Verse 16, "When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." They were here together praying. They had a common burden, a common need. And they were praying together and helping each other. And what a blessing it is to pray together with somebody. It might be the church family. Pray for the Lord to do this. It might just be a close friend. This is a, we have unspoken requests because not everything is appropriate to be shared on a public level. But to share those things maybe with a close friend or with a spouse, and you're praying together and you're desiring to see God work, and then He does, you both have the blessing from that. You both have a blessing from praying together and then seeing God answer that prayer. And it draws you closer together in fellowship. It can be really important for somebody to just have, to just know there's somebody else praying for you. It's important to say that to each other. I'm praying for you. I may not know what the unspoken request was about, but I'm praying with you about that. And if you do share what the issue is, I'm praying with you about this thing, and I'm praying for God to do this. I'm praying for God to accomplish His will in this way, to scripturally, biblically answer the request in this certain way. I sent a text to my brother-in-law, Pastor Roland Hammett, at Lehigh today about the grief of the church family and that the family is going through with the loss of the lady there who died. And I just said, I'm praying for God to give you strength and grace to help those grieving people. It's good to know that people are praying for us. And we can help each other just by praying for each other. I may not know, and I've said this recently to somebody else who contacted me about an issue, an important issue in their life, and I said, I don't profess to know all that God wants to accomplish through this, but I'm confident He can answer it. I'm confident He's capable. I will pray with you about this. It's good for us to bear each other's burdens in prayer. It's one way of assisting each other, and assistance is a big part of fellowship. Another part of assisting each other is giving to a need. It might be giving money, and we've done that for each other. The church family did that for us not too long ago. We do that for missions. We give money to missions, and that's one way of giving to a need. We can give our time. Somebody needs help moving, and so we give our time and our energy to help move their things to a new house. With the Norbergs, some of you ladies are giving your time and energy to prepare meals for them. This is a way of assisting each other. This is part of fellowship, giving your time and energy, giving lessons that you've learned, helping people in that way, but giving to a need. We notice a need, and we have something to give to the need, and we give it, and we fellowship, we assist each other. When we assist each other in these ways, we are very literally helping to bear their burdens. We feel the weight of their need, and we lighten the weight that they are carrying. It's a wonderful act of fellowship. And I would ask, what more direct partnership can there be than to carry the same burden? If you see somebody struggling to carry something that's heavy, and you walk over to them and stand beside them and take the same burden on your shoulder, and you walk together, that is very, very literal fellowship. Very close partnership, and we ought to seek to assist each other. You know, more and more, the Lord is helping me to see that whatever resources I have, physical ability, knowledge, strength, spiritual lessons, finances, time, whatever it is, anything that I have that I could give to somebody else, I look at that as something that I need to expend today. It's easy for us to lay up for ourselves for tomorrow, and we need to be wise, of course, in how we live. But so often, we become hoarders, and we keep for ourselves and hold for ourselves instead of giving. And when we have this idea that, I'm just a channel, just passing along what God's given me to the next person, and we're assisting others that way, there's a great blessing that we gain, and we come into fellowship with others by doing that. We assist each other. We invest in each other. That assistance is a big part of fellowship. We also see that accountability is a big part of fellowship. Accountability. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Accountability is an important part of biblical fellowship. And if we're going to fellowship with each other, we need to be accountable to each other. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. These folks had just come from Judaism, most of them, to Christianity, and they were struggling, no doubt, with this culture change, because they had been, most of these people, these Jews, had been faithful Jews and believing in Old Testament Judaism, and now they needed to be Christians, and they needed accountability, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, spending all this time together, praying, fellowshipping together, worshiping together. And there was a lot of accountability here. These new saints were immediately and thoroughly immersed in their new lifestyle, and everyone was participating in it together. It's easy to fall away from following the Lord when we just keep to the fringe, keep to the edge, keep to the shadows, hide in the woodwork, so to speak. There's not much accountability there. And so you start to stumble, you start to become unfaithful to the Lord, you stop walking with the Lord so closely, but you're kind of hiding in the shadows, nobody really notices, and so then you're ashamed, and you kind of drift back even farther into the shadows, and pretty soon you drift away, and it happens so easily because there's no accountability. We all need accountability in our lives. Well, I'm a good enough Christian, I don't need accountability. Yeah, you do. We all do. We all need accountability. We need to be held accountable at all levels. This makes us careful and purposeful and attentive. I think of a word that kind of encapsulates those things. I think of the word sharp. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And this is accountability. You need me, I need you, we need to hold each other accountable. And if you're doing wrong, or if I'm doing wrong, the other person needs to confront that and keep each other accountable. If I start missing church, if you start missing church, we need to find out what's going on. We need to find out if there's a way we can assist, if there's a way we can help, if there's something we can do. We need to be accountable. How does accountability make us sharper? Make us walk more closely with God? Well, here are some things about accountability that help us. Accountability reminds us that every choice is important. Every choice is important. Matthew 12:36, Jesus reflects this when he says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." We are all accountable for every word. Every choice makes a difference. It matters. And this, sometimes we can have this idea of, if I laugh it off, it's okay to say the wrong thing. If it's a joke, I can say something coarse or something mean or something sarcastic and destructive, as long as it's a joke. No, that's not helpful. Every idle word, every word that we speak should please the Lord. And even if it's a joke, if it doesn't please the Lord, it's not funny, it's not helpful, it's not godly. Every choice that we make is important, and we need accountability to remind us of this. Accountability reminds us that we are subject to the standards or demands of an outside entity, someone other than ourselves. And this is why they say power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You've probably heard that saying before. And why is that true? Because when I am, if a man, if a human is absolutely powerful, they have no accountability. And all that does is encourage the sin nature, the flesh, to be out of control. In Acts 19:40, we read of a mob that had assembled because the gospel in Ephesus was changing lives, and the people who fashioned the idols for the goddess Diana, their business was being affected, and so they roused a mob to try to put a stop to the gospel preaching. And the town clerk came up to address the mob, And he said, "For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse." And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. He was not a godly man, a saved man by all accounts, but he brought in some accountability. He said, this is a big mob, there's a big tumult, and there's no reason for it. And you know what? The Romans are going to be wanting to find out what's going on here. So since we don't have a good reason for it, let's remember that we're accountable. Let's dismiss. Let's be done with this. Let's be over with this. It's, accountability reminds us that we're subject to the standards of someone else. It's not just us. And we understand this, but sometimes we can forget. This helps us to keep our priorities in the right order. Oh yeah, you know, what I want isn't the most important thing. What this other thing that this other person wants isn't most important. It's what, you know, it's what the government chooses. I'm subject to the government. I'm subject to my parents. I'm subject to God, of course. And there, that is the ultimate accountability. Accountability reminds us that we are subject unto God. It's good for us to remember that. Romans 14:12 says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Every one of us. Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Matthew 18:23, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants." Fellow Christian, you serve a king. You serve one who will hold you and me accountable. And it's good for us to remind each other of that and to hold each other accountable now. God has promised we will give account one day. And we sang earlier, nothing between. Keep your accounts short. We understand that phrase. And what it means is be accountable often. And if there's any issue, get rid of it before it lasts very long or gets too big to be too big of an issue. Be accountable. Hold each other accountable. Accountability reminds us, holding each other accountable, reminds us that we are accountable to live like Christ before others. Not only is every choice important, not only are we subject to the standards or demands of others, not only are we subject to God, but we are also accountable to live like Christ before others. 1 Corinthians 4:1, Paul writes, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." We are the ministers of Christ. We are the stewards of the mysteries of God. And we're going to be held accountable for how we did that. It should make a difference. If you're out in the community and you know that other people know that you go to this church, that other people know that you profess to know Christ, that other people know that you profess to know the Lord and you're going to be in heaven one day, you're a child of God, if other people know that about you, it should be in the back of your mind and keep you accountable to behave a certain way. If you are in a place where no one knows you and no one cares how you act, and you just feel like letting down for a few minutes, sometimes we can make bad choices, and that is an example of not being accountable. But we are accountable to live like Christ before others. You know, sometimes I've been guilty of this myself in the past, where I think, well, I don't have to have quite the same standards publicly when I am somewhere far away from my own place where people know me, because, you know, nobody knows that I'm a Christian. Well, what if, when we're acting that way with a little bit lower standards, what if someone were to bring up the Lord? What if God were to give us a witnessing opportunity? Now we can't witness, because that would make us accountable and we'd be a bad testimony. If we're a child of God, we are always accountable to live like Christ before others. Not just our neighbors, not just our co-workers, not just strangers, but our spouse, our kids. Ah, they know me. They know who I really am. We're accountable to live like Christ before all people. We need to be accountable. Hold ourselves accountable. Hold others accountable. This keeps us sharp. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Period. We need to be living like Christ before others. And Christian, your fellowship with the members of your church will help them live for Christ. And you need this accountability from them as well. Seek it out. Welcome it. Embrace it. It takes humility and transparency, and that hurts sometimes. That's painful. That's hard. But it yields help in trials and in temptation. It yields fruitfulness. When the storms of life and the attacks of the devil come, we will need this accountability to remain faithful. It will be a great encouragement to us. We need to be accountable. Thirdly, one of the blessings of fellowship is encouragement. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is a great lesson of fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:4. Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now remember, this is 1 Corinthians. Paul goes on in later chapters to really confront them about sin. There were a lot of problems, but he takes the time in chapter 1 to encourage them. We know that we often get tired or disheartened or frustrated. I don't have to ask for a show of hands to know that we've all been there in one of these ways. Probably this week, in many cases. It's easy to become tired and disheartened and frustrated when we rely on our own strength. It doesn't take much for us to get to that point in our own strength. But on the other hand, there is great encouragement that is available when, to use the illustration from before, the trees of the forest are supporting each other and helping each other in the storm. And in this passage that we just read, I see some different points of encouragement. First of all, we can encourage each other, and we need encouragement. We are blessed by encouragement from those who have gone before, those who have been walking with God and have known God longer than we have. Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf. And we could skim over that, but Paul is saying, I know whom I have believed. I've been walking with him. He is a known entity. I've known him for many years, and he has not failed me. He is my God. I am possessing him. I thank my God. It's good for us to hear encouragement from people who've already been down this part of the trail that we're walking. I know what you're going through in many ways. I've been through my own version of that. And I can tell you, God's going to be enough for you. God gives comfort. God gives strength. God gives deliverance and victory. Just stay the course. Seek him. This is encouraging. We should look for opportunities to reach back, so to speak, and help those who are learning lessons that God has already taught us. Be an encourager. Remember your own struggles in the past, in the lessons that you learn. Seek to smooth and straighten the path for others. Psalm 84:4 says, Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The valley of weeping, they turn it into a blessing. It's a dry valley of weeping, and they make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. This is what encouragement can do. I know it's hard. I remember going through that same sort of thing myself, but let me encourage you. Let me turn it into a blessing for you. God puts us through trials so that we can use those lessons to bless others. Let's do that. It's encouragement. I also see Paul pointing out to these Corinthians God's goodness and help. He says in verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him. That's quite a statement. You know, sometimes it can be hard to see the work that God's doing in our own life. You know, nothing seems to be happening. All I do is struggle, and it's so hard, and there's no relief. And someone else can come along and say, well, Did you notice this? I remember 6 months ago when you were struggling with such and such. You don't struggle with that anymore. I remember when you used to lose your temper at something, or you used to be so faithless at such and such a time, and now you're not anymore. Look at what God's done. It can be good for us to hear that. Look at things. Sometimes we're not very objective about these things. Pointing out God's goodness and the help that He's giving. Identifying God's results, Paul says, so that ye come behind in no gift. It is worth it. It's encouraging to recognize that God has been accomplishing His work in you. Have you ever experienced that, where you're going through a trial and all you can see is just the day-by-day grind, and it's so hard and you don't understand what the point is and when this will be over, and then you come to a point maybe where it relaxes a little bit, or you come out of the trial and you look back and you see how far the Lord brought you, you see how much you've grown, and that changes everything about the trial, doesn't it? Now you understand the point God had been trying to bring about and make. And it's important for us to show other people that, to help them see what God is doing. Look at what God is accomplishing. Look at what God is accomplishing. For it is God which worketh in you, Philippians 2:13 says. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Look for ways to encourage other people. You know, I've seen you grow. I've seen you become more like Christ. I've seen you become a better witness. I've seen God use you. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't be discouraged. Encourage each other. This is an important part of fellowship. We ought to look for opportunities to encourage each other. Another part of encouragement is assuring people of God's purpose and faithfulness. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 1:8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, when I think about standing before the Lord, I know my own unworthiness. Standing before the Lord blameless, standing before the Lord perfectly prepared, boy, if God's going to do that, and I think about that moment, standing before the Lord, ready to stand before Him, kind of makes my trial today seem easier to bear, a little less important. Paul says, God is working in you, and He's focused on the end. He wants to make you blameless in the day of our Lord. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can become disheartened in the daily plodding of life and lose sight of the wisdom of God and the joyous finish line that He has in store. We need to encourage each other that it will be worth it all when we see Christ. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We need to remind each other of this. We all need encouragement regularly. I used to feel like a failure when I needed a lot of encouragement. I should know better. I should do better. I should be able to. But we all need it. We need to be encouraged, and we need to encourage. The more that we encourage others, we're going to be encouraged in return. Luke 6:38 says, given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So be an encourager, and the Lord will send encouragement in your direction. Number four, a blessing of fellowship is companionship. We won't go there for sake of time, but Philippians, the first seven verses of Philippians chapter 1, talk about companionship in the gospel and working together and blessing each other. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It is a blessing to draw near to the Lord in fellowship, and then find that drawing near to Him draws you near to others who are like-minded. Companionship, walking through life with other people. In companionship, we find the elements of assistance and accountability and encouragement. It's, companionship might be described as sort of a complete package of fellowship. It's good to have a companion, and we can be that way for other people. We can be a companion to others. And we should look, as members of Bible Baptist Church, we should look for ways to reach out to each other and be a companion to each other. We should do everything that we can to make sure that no member feels like an outsider, to be a companion to each other. We have a picture of a perfect companion in the Holy Spirit. He is the Comforter. Jesus says in John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Forever. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 16:7, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And so in these three verses, we see three things. We see these three things. More, we can find more. But we see these three things that the Comforter is, the Holy Spirit. He's the Comforter. He's a companion. He is sent by God. He is speaking the words of God. And he is faithful. Those are good traits, foundational traits of a good companion. Sent by God, speaking the words of God, and faithful. That's what the Holy Spirit is to us, and we ought to be companions to each other. Sent by the Lord, speaking his words, and faithful to each other. Fifthly, another blessing of fellowship is identification. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, you can turn over there. Philippians 2, 1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Who are we? Well, we're in Christ, being of one accord, one same love, like-minded. Last week we saw that fellowship identifies ourselves to ourselves. It identifies who we are by looking at who we spend time with. Others look at you, and they can identify you by seeing who you spend time with. We ought to spend time with the right kind of people, and an identity is important. It's good for us to know who we are. Who am I? What kind of person am I? Well, fellowship tells us. Fellowship provides us with an identity, and that is an important part of our person, of our mind, of being rooted in fellowship with Christ. Identity is manifested in our communion and fellowship with fellow saints and church members. It's a blessing of fellowship, identification. And then lastly, a blessing of fellowship is belonging. Identification leads to a sense of belonging. I know who I am, and I know where I belong. Fellowship gives us this. The Bible teaches that saints are a peculiar people, and that makes us stick out. But we can fit in right here. You know, it's good for us to stick out in the world because it means we're going to fit in heaven. I'd rather fit in up there. But even though we're a peculiar people, we do belong with a certain person. There is one person to whom we bear much resemblance. 2 Corinthians 1:5 says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Living for Christ does produce tension in temporal and fleshly areas. It's uncomfortable to deny the flesh and to separate from the world. It's hard to fight the good fight of faith. But when we know where we belong, it helps us to stay faithful. It's a wonderful thing to be identified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Where do I belong? Well, when trials come, we're tempted to to cut and run. We're tempted to avoid the issues. We're tempted to run away and to try to find relief elsewhere. As David said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." But if we know where we belong, we're going to ask ourselves questions like this. If I quit on God, where am I going to go? Where will I fit in any better? What place will be more comfortable to me than the will of God for my life? And for the child of God, these are rhetorical questions. The answer should be obvious. I belong right here. I belong in the will of God. There's nowhere else that's going to be any better. So don't quit, Christian. It's not any better for us outside God's will. Our sorrow will only be multiplied out there. We belong right here in God's hand, fulfilling his will among his people. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1, and we'll be done. 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." We belong in the Lord's church. We belong in the Lord's will. If you're saved, you are in Christ. You belong right where he wants you. That is a blessing of fellowship, is growing and strengthening that bond of belonging, that place where you are. It's a blessing of fellowship. The sense of belonging and the assurance of belonging is strengthened when we fellowship with each other. The more that we isolate ourselves, the more we can convince ourselves that we don't belong here. After all, you know, I made it halfway out the door before 10 people said hi to me. I mean, we can lie to ourselves in all kinds of ways. People don't care about me. People, you know, so-and-so didn't even look my way. And I don't belong here, and we get outside the will of God when that happens. We belong right where the Lord's put us. If you're saved, you belong in his will among his people. Don't quit. Don't leave. These are the blessings of fellowship. We need each other's assistance. We need to hold each other accountable. We need to come alongside each other and encourage each other. We need the companionship and identity that following Christ affords us. We need to know and believe that we belong with him and his followers. True fellowship provides all these things for us. So let's draw near to each other for all these blessings, these reasons. These are the blessings of fellowship. And so let's fellowship. Let's pursue that and grow that and develop that in our lives. Let's pray. Father,